ago. Psalms 18. Again, Psalms 18 this Lord's Day morning. Psalms 18, at the heading, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And this, you can find this reading is almost exactly the same in 2 Samuel chapter 22, is where this is coming from. Let's look at just the first six verses, and then another few verses, and another few verses, and then we'll get to our text. Let's look at verses 1 through 6. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears." Verses 16, 17, and 18. "He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He, that is God, delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." Verse 29, 30, and 31. "For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God?" Verse 35 and 36. "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet do not slip." And then I'm going to read the last verse in this chapter. "Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore." So this passage is obviously, like all scriptures, it's for the believer. It's for the king. It's for David. And obviously, some of these passages I read speak of Christ in his turmoil and his agony. Because all scriptures point to Christ. And Christ rebuked those who said, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. But what I was interested in is specifically verse 35 in the last phrase. "Thy gentleness," God's gentleness, "hath made me great." That's as it applied to David. It is applied to the believer. And certainly as it applies to Christ. But we're going to look at it specifically. Our King James Bibles, it says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." And that word "great" has made me to increase. It's enlarged me, thy gentleness. But just perusing, like we did this psalm, and given its situation under which it was written, the distress, the trial, and the hardships at the hands of Saul to David, I would say yes and amen to God's gentleness delivering his servant from evil. Such is this case scriptural-wide. Everywhere in this book, God's dear children, when they are buffeted by Satan, when they are buffeted by the world and even our own flesh, we flee to Christ and he hears our cry. He hears our cry. And was not Christ delivered as well at the hands of sinful men? He lifted up his voice and he cried and the Lord heard him. Well, blessed be God because he heard him. He hears us through our mediator. So as I said, in the King James Bible, This last section in verse 35 says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Now, this particular verse has several renditions. And as far as the wording and the word usage, we're going to look at some of these. The first thought is, "Thy condescension hath made me great." That's what the Amplified version. What does yours say, Nathan?
Which verse?
The verse 18, the last phrase, "Thy gentleness." Does it say "Thy gentleness"?
No, it says "They confronted me in the day of my calamity, for the Lord is my support."
Okay. Yeah, Psalms 18:35. This word "gentleness" has many renditions and word usages. But the first one that we're going to look at is, "Thy condescension hath made me great." That's what the Amplified version. I didn't bring it with me, but I looked it up last night. And our great God, has He not condescended to become our very nature? Thy condescension, thy condescension. I get right here. "Thy condescension hath made me, hath enlarged me, hath increased me." Our God became incarnate in the flesh. God made like unto us, accepting sin. Well, His other name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And of course, God, the Holy Spirit, God in us. So this version, another rendering of this, the word "gentleness" is what we're going to specifically look at, is could be condescension, is correct. It's not resting in Scripture, but rather it gives God in Christ all the glory for making us through His humiliation. That's another rendition, making us increase, enlarging us. God, as it were, in my own language, became small. What do you mean? Well, what do you mean God became flesh? How do you explain that? His ways are not my ways. I believe it. He had to become flesh in our blood. He had to live a perfect life. The law was against us. We were against us. Satan was against us. God's justice and wrath is against us. But He had to step in. He became small so we would be enlarged, as the marginal reading is, becoming great. Secondly, another rendition of, is, "Thy clemency hath made us great." That is clemency, mercy, or help, as it is rendered in another section. "For we're like David. We had meager and humble beginnings, born in trespasses and sins." But David was a shepherd boy. He's out minding his own business. And perhaps this came to mind. I don't know. He's being tried and persecuted by enemies, and particularly by Saul. His God's clemency, His mercy, has helped David. And perhaps he remembered when he was a shepherd boy, raised to King of Israel, raised by sovereign, free mercy, unasked for, unmerited, and perhaps even unwanted. Where was David? He was out tending sheep. He wasn't seeking God. He wasn't seeking the call like no people do. "Oh, I wasn't seeking Christ since I was a little kid." Well, I disagree. We all are, have this humble beginning. But God's gentleness, His clemency, His mercy, just like David, Samuel, he's like, "Oh, this guy, boy, he looks good. He's got to be the Lord's anointed." God says, "I don't judge like you do. I look at the heart." He says, "Do you have anybody else?" He went through, what, six of them? Boom, kick. And then you got any others? "Yeah, there's one, but he's ruddy. He's just nothing." Bring him in. Bring him in by the call of divine grace. He was brought thither. And the Scripture says, we were raised from the dunghill. And as Bunyan would say, from the dunghill to the celestial city. His clemency hath made us enlarged and made us great. Thirdly, this rendering, I like this one, is, "Thy providence," says one of the older writers, "Thy providence hath made us great." And we know, as do all who truly name the name of Christ, "All things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to His purpose. All things in time, all things in providence, all things in trial, all things in distress, all things in peril, famine, nakedness, as Scripture says, in the time of light, in the time of darkness. He is the sum and substance of all our enlargements. And we are as safe can be in Him. Thy gentleness, Thy providence hath made us great. Fourthly, another rendition is, Thy good will hath made me great. Thy good will hath made you great. And I ask myself this, how can it be that worms of the dust will be and can be and have been exalted into greatness and glory by the will of the supreme, majestic, and glorious I Am? That's how. This is why we are called kings and priests. This is why we are joint heirs with Christ. This is why we have the right to own and wear the crown of glory and His robe of righteousness, because God so willed it. And I've heard people say that in the New Testament, that passage where it says, you know, when Christ is showing His people how to pray, His disciples, Thy will be done, Thy kingdom come. And people repeat that like it's a wish. I wish Your will would be done. No, it's the way it's worded. It's a matter of truth and a sure fact. God's will shall be done. Shall be done. Now you ask Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, can these bones live? Thou knowest. Thou knowest, Lord. Thy will be done. It was. Now He uses the preaching of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Because then He told Ezekiel, blow, you know, speak to these things. And all this is a picture of the preaching of the gospel. But it's all started. Sinners dead in trespasses and sins. And God says, can these bones live? Why, it's the preaching of the gospel, as we looked at it, I think in Luke, is included in one of those miracles. We looked at this several months ago. Christ said, you know, I'm doing this, and I'm preaching the gospel. And it was all included in those miracles. So every time you come hear the gospel, it's not me. Now, I'm not trying to bring attention here at all. But every time the gospel is heard, it's a miracle of God's grace. And another thing is, if you understand this gospel, if you understand that you are worthless and hopeless and helpless, and that I am as well, less than the least of all saints. If we understand that, but we understand that His goodwill, His gentleness, His meekness, His clemency, His providence hath made us great, or hath enlarged us, or hath increased us. Fifthly, the Septuagint. What's that? The Septuagint is the earliest Greek translation of the Old Testament from the Hebrew to the Greek. It states this way, Thy discipline hath made us great. Now, you if you're a believer, you think about this. Indeed, our Father only chastises His children, His seed, His elect, His remnant people, which is always, as I said, for, and the Scripture says, is for our good, and it's needful for growth and grace. And it makes us more like Christ. He trains us up and will make us ready for heaven. So His discipline. And I know it's like with our children. When we discipline our children, they don't like it. But they don't understand you're doing it because you love them. And you're preventing something perhaps, you know, happening in the future. Or training them or teaching them. Thy discipline hath made us great. David said, if I hadn't been afflicted, I'd have gone astray. And you know how, you know, our old nature is still there. You know. And Bruce makes this comment all the time. He says, you know, when you go on vacation, if you go, you know, if you got a decent job and you got more than 2 or 3 weeks vacation, you go on vacation and you just have a good time. And then you come back and you just, the world's all over you. You know, you like the things of the world. You want to, you know, all this stuff to the eyes. But then when you get back with the brethren, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it's just lovely. It's absolutely lovely. You go through a little bit of something, the Lord's in it. And you know He's in it if you're His, because there's not anything that has happened, and nothing as this has happened, that He is not the sovereign over. Lastly, the Chaldean. Okay, I've heard this from Gil all my life. Many years. What in the saying? What is that? Chaldean. Well, it's the Aramaic vernacular, which was used in early Bible lands. Or put another way, it's the ancient Semitic speaking people, or Abrahamic language. Listen to this. Thy word hath increased me. It's all the same thing out of Psalms 18. Thy word has increased me, which I personally think has a strong reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word. And as I said, everything points to Him. Everything points to Him. Thy word. And if it doesn't mean Christ, everything in this book, which is out without error, is our instruction, our instruction in righteousness, everything that we read here. But I believe that it is speaking specifically about the word. Thy word hath increased me. And that's, He says, Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. So in Him, we can do all things. And all things, He says, are ours. The scriptures is written specifically for the believer, for comfort and grace and mercy and help at time of need. The Lord, our word, as it is by Him and through Him, and we move and live and have our being, owing our new life, our true increase, and everything we have to the Anointed One. Everything the believer has. That's why in times of this country, and say it's chaos, it's from God, so it's not chaos. It's just men are confused in chaos. But God is, as Tim James has said, this isn't even a blip on His map. He's doing exactly as He pleases. And it's affecting the people of God. Every time the people of God got taken captive Babylon, the elect were with them. So evils, in human term, evils and miscarriages, all these things happen to the believers alike with, you know, everybody in this community. It's happening to everybody in the community. But the believer knows. Romans 8:20, everything's working for good. We may not understand it, but that's okay. If you're in Him, that's the issue. If you're not in Him, cry for mercy. He has never turned down a genuine heart cry for mercy, because He puts it in the heart. So whether we say good or bad, whatever terminology we use, the believer owes everything, his new life, his true increase, everything that we have to the Anointed One. He, Christ, must decrease, be brought low through suffering and death, that we, through no worth of our own, may increase in all things spiritual. So that's just kind of the opposite with John the Baptist. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. Well, he did decrease. So we would increase according to the word usage in hath made me great. Increase. Thy gentleness. Thy word. Thy discipline. Thy goodwill, thy providence, thy clemency, thy condescension hath made us great, hath enlarged us. Now, if we have been attentive to all these blessed renditions, these word renditions, we will still draw the same glorious and worship-inducing conclusion. David ascribed all his own greatness to the condescending goodness of his Father in heaven. May this sentiment be echoed in our hearts this morning, while we cast our crowns at Jesus' feet and cry, thy gentleness hath made me great. How marvelous has been our experience of God's gentleness. How gentle have been his corrections. How gentle his forbearance. How gentle his teachings. How gentle his drawings. Meditate upon this theme, O believer. Let gratitude be awakened. Let humility be deepened. And let love be quickened this very hour. Because you see this, and it's nothing that we've done. It's nothing that we've tried to do. It's nothing we have prayed through. It's all owing to God's free grace. His gentleness, indeed, hath made each one of his people increased, enlarged, and great. To God be the glory. Nathan, would you close us?
Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here today. Thank you for the message. And Lord, like at all times, and like so many of the writers that are in this book, we ask that your work will have an effect. We ask that your will be done. And we say amen. And for me, so be it. Not merely an ending to a prayer. It is what we wish. And what we wish is something you have put in our hearts. Lord, it is not every day and every second that our actions are always godly. In fact, we don't